Wading with some difficulty through the press of silent bodies, he made his way to an area that was a little lower than the surrounding scrub and contained a couple of trees whose leaves looked slightly fresher than the rest.
"Oh, good grief!"
chattered the birds around him. 2 or 3 feet should do it, he thought, as he shoveled the red soil aside. Amazing, really, all this water underground when it never rained at all. The whole place must be floating on water. At 3 feet down, the soil was barely damp. He sighed and kept going. He was more than chest deep before a trickle oozed out between his toes. The sheep fought for the damp soil as he threw it up to the surface. As he watched, the puddle sank into the ground. "Hey, come back!"
"Hey, come back!"
screamed the birds in the bushes. "Shut up!"
"Shut up! Who's a pretty boy, then?"
He flailed at the ground with his makeshift shovel in an effort to catch up, and overtook the descending water after another few inches. He splashed on until he was knee-deep, dragged his hat through the muddy liquid, pulled himself out of the hole, and ran, water dribbling over his feet, until he could tip it into the trough. The sheep clustered round it, struggling silently to get at the film of moisture. Rincewind got 2 more hatfuls before the water sank out of sight. He wrenched the ladder off the stricken windmill, threw it down the hole, and jumped in after it. Damp soil fountained out as he dug, and each dripping lump attracted a mass of flies and small birds as soon as it hit the ground. He managed another dozen or so hatfuls before the hole was deeper than the ladder. By now some cattle had lumbered up to the trough as well, and it was impossible to see the water for heads. The sound was that of a straw investigating the suds of the biggest milkshake in the world. Rincewind took a final look down the hole, and as he did so the last drop of water winked out of sight. "Weird country," he muttered. He wandered over to where Snowy was standing patiently in the sparse shade of a bush. "You're not thirsty?" he said. Snowy snorted and shook his mane. "Oh, well, maybe you've got a bit of camel in you. You certainly can't be all horse, I know that." Snowy moved aimlessly sideways and trod on Rincewind's foot. By noon, the track crossed another one, which was much wider. Hoofprints and wheel ruts suggested that it got a lot of traffic. Rincewind brightened up and followed it through thickening trees, glad of the shade. He passed another groaning windmill surrounded by a cluster of patiently waiting cattle. There were more bushes, and the land was rising into ancient crumbling hills of orange rock. "At least he gets the wind up here," he thought. "Ye gods, is a drop of rain too much to ask? You can't never have any rain. Everywhere gets rained on sometimes. It has to drop out of the sky in order to get underground in the first place, doesn't it?" He stopped when he heard the sound of many hoofbeats on the track behind him. A mob of riderless horses appeared around the bend at full gallop. As they swept past Rincewind, he saw one horse out in front of the others, built on the sleekest lines he'd ever seen, a horse that moved as though it had a special arrangement with gravity. The pack divided and flowed around Rincewind as if he were a rock in a stream. Then they were just a disappearing noise in a cloud of red dust. Snowy's nostrils flared, and the jolting increased as he speeded up. "Oh, yes," said Rincewind. "Not a chance, mate. You can't play with the big boys. No worries." The cloud of dust had barely settled before there were more hoofbeats and a bunch of horsemen came around the curve. They galloped past without taking any notice of Rincewind, but a rider at the rear slowed down.
"You seen a mob of horses go by, mate?"
"Yes, mate. No worries. No worries.
"A big brown colt leading them?"
"Yes, mate, no worries, no worries."
"Old Remorse says he'll give 100 squids to the man who catches him. No chance of that, it's canyon country ahead."
"No worries."
"What's that you're riding, an ironing board?"
Excuse me," Rincewind began as the man set off in pursuit, "but is this the right road to bugger up?" The dust swirled across the road. "What happened to the well-known Exian reputation for good-hearted friendliness, eh?" shouted Rincewind to empty air. He heard shouts and the cracking of whips from the trees on the high slopes as he wound into the hills. At one point, the wild horses burst out onto the track again, not even noticing him in their flight, and this time Snowy ambled off the track and followed the trail of broken bushes. Rincewind had learned that hauling on the reins only had the effect of making his arms ache. The only way to stop the little horse when he didn't want to be stopped was probably to get off, run ahead, and dig a trench in front of him. Once again, the riders came up behind Rincewind and thudded past, foam streaming from the horses' mouths. "Excuse me, am I on the right road for—" and they were gone. He caught up with them 10 minutes later in a thicket of mountain ash, milling around uncertainly while their leader shouted at them. I say, can anyone tell me, is it? He ventured. And then he saw why they'd stopped. They'd run out of forwards. The ground fell away into a canyon, a few patches of grass and a handful of bushes clinging to the very nearly sheer drop.